Well, hello, hello, and come on in. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station, available online via the UK Health Radio app and also via Alexa. An extremely warm welcome to this week's Acupuncture Point.
We have time for racism. We have time for criticism. Held bondage by our isms. When will there be a time to love?
We make time to debate religion, for passing bills and building prisons, for building fortunes and passing judgments. When will there be a time to love?
A choice to make,
to either walk the path of love or be crippled by our pain.
We have time to cause pollution. We have time to cause confusion. All wrapped up in our own illusion. When will there be a time to love?
We have time to conquer nations, time for oil excavation, hatred, violence, and terrorism.
When will there be a time to love?
Choice to make.
Father, God is watching while we cause Mother Earth so much pain. It's such a shame. Not enough money for the young, the old, and the poor. But the war, there's all. Time to love.
We make time for paying taxes, for paying bills and buying status. But we will pay the consequences if we don't make the time to love.
Now's the time to pay attention.
Yes, now is the time to you
know what? I can't think of a better way to start off today's show than a sprinkling of glorious Stevie Wonder, ably assisted by the equally fantastic India Ari and their gorgeous song, A Time to Love. Hello, hello, and thank you so much for listening into UK Health Radio. You're listening to Kevin Durgin, and I am your host of this week's Acupuncture Point. So, coming up in today's show, we're going to meet a rather wonderful woman. Her name is Barbara Robinson, and Barbara is on the board of a fantastic organisation called World Medicine. And they do marvellous work all around the world where they bring acupuncture to people who need it most. And Barbara and I are going to be talking about the work of World Medicine. And we're also going to be finding out about how acupuncturists can access some funding. Yes, you heard me right. World Medicine has some funding to help you to set up your own acupuncture project. So stay tuned for that. That will be coming up next. We're also going to be learning how acupuncture can help with depression. And another rip-roaring round of Game of Themes. And if you'd like to join in the tremendous fun and be part of the action, all you need to do is to see if you're able to guess the common thread that links together all of the wonderful, wonderful songs that I'm going to be playing for you across today's Acupuncture Point.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
The station that makes you feel good.
Together.
Hello there. You're listening to Kevin Durgent here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station, available online via the UK Health Radio app and also, of course, via Alexa. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being part of Acupuncture Point. Now, I feel very, very honoured today because I am in the presence of somebody who's doing some really, really brilliant work with her organisation. Barbara Robinson is a trustee of World Medicine, and she, like me, is also an acupuncturist. Welcome to Acupuncture Point, Barbara Robinson.
Thank you, Kevin. Lovely to be here.
So, first of all, tell us about World Medicine. What is it that you do?
World Medicine is a charitable trust, and essentially we bring together groups of acupuncturists and sometimes complementary therapists as well, and sort of pair them up with groups who so desperately need some alternative treatment. We go out to groups which are can be destitute, can be coping with poverty or disaster, and it can be in any part of the world, really. More recently, of course, we have gone out to India annually, but there have been projects in the past to Palestine, Nebron, and in India and Sri Lanka was the original one back in 2005.
My wonderful colleague, Lisa Milnes, she and a few of my other acupuncture friends, Angela Porter, went out on that trip to Sri Lanka.
Yes.
And they came back telling me how wonderful it was to be treating so many people. And because, of course, they had just been affected by the tsunami very badly.
Absolutely. They went out there for about 3 weeks, didn't they? And they returned for two subsequent years, I believe, perhaps different practitioners, but to be able to address the problems that they could see out there. Trauma mainly, I believe, at the time. But this has happened in many other places as well. Coming after the tsunami treatments, we had groups going out to Palestine, and that was for a number of years. And then we had another acupuncturist called Malti Shah. She started up one in India. And she was just there by herself for the first 3 years. And then in 2014, she gathered a group of six acupuncturists. And I was one of those. And we went out, and I've been going out ever since, every year, to have, it's now a 3 week one. And we treat hundreds of people in a 3 week period. In fact, our last one was 2020, and we did over 1,900 treatments in that three-week period. So wow. It's busy time. It's busy. It takes quite a lot of planning these days, but it's so worth it. And you might feel exhausted and drained, but there's also an upliftment there. You know, people are just so appreciative of it.
Now, when many people hear the words complementary medicine and acupuncture, their initial instinct isn't to go, right, that can help within a disaster setting. What can acupuncture do within to help people who have experienced real terrible disasters in their life?
The disasters, very often, if you actually go out to the scene of the actual disaster, perhaps there's not a lot you can do at that time. What those people are after is security, medical treatment, perhaps, a roof over their heads and food. So it's almost like an acupuncture going to attend a road traffic accident. Perhaps it isn't their role right at the front line there, but these effects can last for years. The trauma of it could be with them for many years, which affects everything else they do. It affects their well-being, their resilience, and their ability to then move on. And that is where acupuncture is so useful.
Mm. Now, we were talking about this yesterday, and I was gabbling on and on and on about this brilliant project that had been set up after the terrible Grenfell fire tragedy.
That's right, yes.
And I had no idea that it was actually World Medicine that had set this
up? That's right. It was a collaboration with NADA GB, and it was using the NADA protocol. And we worked hand in hand with Rachel, supplying volunteers. And it was World Medicine that actually sort of managed the funding for it and the reporting of it. So we knew, you know, was it doing any good? Were they short of supplies and that sort of thing? So that was our first experience of a project in the UK, actually.
That was actually, I think, my first ever interview that I did for UK Health Radio. So I went along to the mosque where this project had been set out. And first of all of the women, it was mainly women who I interviewed, all of the women who I spoke to were so grateful for what they had received. They came in their droves. I remember I was in this tiny room and, you know, first one woman came, then another woman. And then before I knew it, there were about 40 women crammed into this room all around this one little microphone wanting to talk about how this acupuncture treatment had transformed their lives. Not only had it helped them deal with trauma, many of them had lost family and loved ones within that horrible, horrible fire, but it had also helped with, you know, their bad backs and, you know, all of those mundane aches and pains. So it really is wonderful, wonderful work that you do. Now, World Medicine does a lot of work with refugees, I understand. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes, that's right. We have a current project with the Jesuit Refugee Service in Wapping, and that was set up last August, and that's open to all their refugee friends, as they call them, to come in and have acupuncture in the afternoons on Wednesdays, and that's having such a wonderful effect. It is changing lives there. This is the case of, they are just so pleased to see us. It was a bit nervous at first. Many of them didn't know what acupuncture was. Many of them, English is their second language, and we might be able to get by with some French. But with acupuncture, it's not a talking therapy. So once they have the needles in and understand how it feels and makes them feel relaxed, their sleeping is getting better, they're not so anxious. Stress is a major thing with all the refugees, and it's helping them gather themselves together in order to be able to cope with what they have to do with just getting by from day to day. And they are, when you say grateful, they are. I'm always a little bit taken aback that they are surprised at the kindness that's offered to them. It's the respect and the kindness that the practitioners offer that they seem to be a little bit surprised at. And I say, well, why not? That's what we all do, isn't it? In our practices, or whether it's just one-on-one or it's a whole group of people. But they seemed a little bit surprised at that. And that, I think, is of much therapeutic value as even the needles.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm of the firm belief that sometimes it isn't what we do, it is the way that we do it. And I remember reading a bit of research recently that was talking about the importance of that relationship, the importance of the relationship between the patient and the person who is the practitioner, and how that in itself can be transformative or it can not have any effect. It's so interesting, so interesting. Yes. Now, you mentioned NADA. Now, for us acupuncturists in the know, we know what NADA is. So could you explain what NADA actually stands for and what it does?
NADA GB is a group in the UK. Originally, was set up to help people with... Well, it's a detox protocol, actually. And what it is five small needles that go into each ear, and it allows people to relax, and it allows their body to address sort of alcoholism, drug problems, or anything like that, which is more of a mental, emotional issue as opposed to a physical one. Mm-hmm. So it's just 5 points. It's on the ears. So it's very accessible to these for these CT clinics. You haven't got to take off a lot of clothes, and they can just sit there quietly in their own little mindful space and enjoy the needles. And it does have a very relaxing effect on the body. Now, in our clinic in Wapping, we have that as the baseline treatment. Not NADA necessarily, but if it's a qualified acupuncturist in auricular, as opposed to just NADA, then they might decide to do different points. But generally, it's 5 points on the ears, and the NADA protocol is a very good start to that treatment.
It's absolutely fascinating stuff, fascinating stuff. It has been used successfully within prison services.
Yes.
I did an interview with a woman who'd made a film about how acupuncture in the 1960s in the Bronx helped to detoxify people, and it was a real empowering thing. Just those five needles helped to transform entire communities for the better. Okay, so within a refugee clinic, if somebody isn't able to speak the same language, how do you know what it is that they need?
When they come into the clinic, as acupuncturists ourselves, we are quite experienced at taking their emotional temperature, if you like. So we allow them to sit down. They might not have much English or French or whatever thing you can, you know, language you can supply. But we can sit them down and you can take their pulses and just spend a few minutes with them, and you can feel where their energies are. Whether they are euphoric, whether they are frightened, whether they are sad. And you can, that is a good starting point for putting just a few needles in to see how that changes. Now, what mostly happens when you're watching somebody, we just put the needles in, is their shoulders drop and they relax, and they might close their eyes and they get comfortable in the chair and they'll have a little smile on their face and they might close their eyes. And for a lot of refugees, they just don't get that peace anywhere else. And so you know you've got a starting point. Now, when they start getting used to having these treatments, they might say, you know, might just rub their knee and say, you know, with grimace, and you know there's something going on with their knees or their hands or their backs. So over time, you can get used to what's going on with that particular person. And so you can add things to the treatment, which helps them with those areas as well. Mm. So essentially, you need a starting point.
And I think that this in itself is so important. I know that I've been to see my GP, and I've been absolutely astounded that they can be looking on a screen, typing away, and not looking at me, and yes, not being so focused on notes, and instead of actually being focused on the person in front. And again, going back to what we were saying before about the importance of the patient-practitioner relationship, how wonderful that we as acupuncturists, we do have the ability to hold somebody's hand.
Absolutely, yes.
And to actually take the time to bring our own self out of the equation and to really try to focus on the person in front of us. And again, that's a huge, huge therapeutic value. I saw a patient yesterday who I'd seen him for various weeks, and he has bipolar disorder. And he was going through one of his low periods. And he spoke to me the other day and said, "How do you think I'm doing? You know, what do my pulses tell you?" And I said, "Well, look, I didn't actually even need to read your pulses because I saw that you're looking better." And, you know, it's those wonderful things that when you want to, you can learn a lot without talking.
Mm, absolutely. And with the group of practitioners who volunteer at this clinic, we've got a WhatsApp group, and we have messages coming back about how a particular clinic has gone that day or things for the following week. The one came back recently, and the practitioner said, "Oh, it was a brilliant day. It's a really wonderful vibe." And he said it was so wonderful to see such returning so many returning smiling faces. And that says it all.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful. And another thought that's just come to me, because it's so lovely to hear about work like this. It's so, so wonderful. Is that for that moment, even though everything else is in their lives are in disarray and difficult, if for a moment you're able to feel lighter, lifted, a bit better, it's telling yourself, it's sending yourself that very important message that you can feel better. And it doesn't need to be for a long time, but you can feel okay.
Yes, that's a wonderful message for them to know, because they can get into a period where their sense of well-being is so low, they have forgotten that it can be any better. And that's a part of the acupuncture as well, is improving the well-being, so they can be more social, they can gather their friends around, and that resilience that comes from that helps them with all their other problems, as well as their aches and pains and their long-term health problems.
Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Now, lots of people listening to this show will be acupuncturists themselves. Now, I know that you are currently on the lookout for acupuncturists to get involved.
How can people
get involved? Yes, yes.
Well, World Medicine are offering some grants. This year, 5 grants of £2,000 each. And this is to go to acupuncturists or a group of acupuncturists to set up their own clinic or their own project, treating a group in their community which has those sort of parameters of poverty or displacement or trauma. And we think that it's very possible, because we've now done it in Wapping, to start off these clinics, and it doesn't have to disturb their family life or their home life. It is time consuming, but so worthwhile. And for £2,000, we believe they can set up a clinic near to them and offer treatments every week. And we think that could be sustainable for a year. We don't ask for any longer than that. It's just that we think a year is a good length of time to aim for. If it doesn't last that long, it doesn't matter. But just the fact that people have tried, there's such a wealth of experience and skilled people out there, and we want to put them together with the people who need it. So we are offering grants. Please come and ask us about them.
Which is brilliant. Okay, so how can people get involved with you? Who should they contact? Is there a website? All those sorts of things.
There is a website. It's worldmedicine.org.uk. And if you go on there, there's also different elements of it which talk about how to get the grant, how we have fared with our Wapping clinic. And there's also bits of information on there about what to think about when you are setting up a clinic like this. We're really downloading our experience here so people don't have to reinvent the wheel. But please, please come and phone us. Well, probably not phone us, but please email us. Or get on the website, and there's a form there where you can apply for the grant. We would love to hear from anybody who would like to take this up.
So worldmedicine.org.uk for all of that info. Barbara Robinson, fellow member of the AAC, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us here on Acupuncture Point. Thank you,
Kevin.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, hello, hello, hello there. You're listening to Kevin Durgent here on UK Health Radio. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for supporting both UK Health Radio and also little old me and my show, Acupuncture Point. Did you know that every single week we have over 1.2 million listeners? Yes, 1.2 million listeners every single week tuning in to hear, feel good, feel happy, feel energetic information, and also feel uplifted music or across our roster of shows. All of our presenters are practitioners themselves, and all of us are specialists and experts in our respective fields. So there we go, a little nice little pat on the back. Now, one thing that I love about my show is that it really does allow me to shine a light on some of the brilliant bits of research that are happening into acupuncture all around the world. And also just to share information about this brilliant system of medicine. I know that when I say the word acupuncture, when I throw this at you, for many people, they will go, oh, well, that's quite good for lower back pain, isn't it? Or my aunt used to have headaches and then she had acupuncture and then she got fine. And all of that is entirely correct. And all of that is brilliant, of course. What isn't so well known is that acupuncture really is wonderful at helping to treat people with mental disorders. So people living with conditions such as anxiety and depression. And there was a study hot off the press that was published just at the end of March, which demonstrated how acupuncture, together with complementary treatments, have been extremely helpful for people living with major depression, which I find really, really exciting. So basically what happened is they offered and they provided a variety of different complementary techniques to people living with severe depression. And they demonstrated that the people who received this, the combined forces of all of these wonderful, wonderful bits of care, their symptoms of depression increased exponentially. And basically, the people who conducted this study is suggesting that if we are going to really help our patients who live with conditions such as depression, we really do need to draw on complementary therapies. I know that in my clinic, when I see patients who come to me with anxiety, depression, and conditions like that, quite often they've been on long-term medication and they still don't feel right. And I think that anything that we can do to give even a bit of hope is going to be helpful. Now, let me get off my high horse here and we're just going to trot through. Did you like that? I'm getting off my high horse and we're going to trot through this bit of research here. So basically, the study starts off by explaining what major depressive disorder is. And this is a mood disorder, which is characterized by recurrent negative symptoms. And basically, the aim of this study was to look at how various complementary medicines could be integrated with the idea of coming up with a holistic intervention for people living with depression. So now, this wasn't a particularly huge study. In fact, it was relatively small. There were 15 participants on the trial, but they all had moderate to severe depression. And they had things like acupuncture twice a week for 8 weeks. They also did yoga meditation. They also underwent nutritional assessment. They took part in Tai Chi. So lots and lots and lots of different modalities were incorporated. Now, the results were very impressive. A high response rate, over 80% of the participants demonstrated a clinically significant decrease in the severity of their depression symptoms. That's really, really exciting. And so basically, the people doing this study concluded that wouldn't it be great if we opened up and we started to incorporate more things like yoga, more things like mindfulness, more things like Tai Chi, and of course acupuncture into the conventional treatment of people with depression. Just think, just let's close our eyes and just imagine how much better 80% of people could be feeling if they had access to wonderful treatments and activities such as these. So my advice to you is, if you do live with depression, or somebody you know lives with depression, ask them to talk, or ask somebody who cares for them to talk and to ask for this. Because you know what? It is only once we open up our mouths and start to speak, that's when things will start to change. For the better.
I've got a creed for every need, so easy that it must succeed. I'll set it down for you to read, so please take heed. Keep off the gloom, let in the sun. That's my advice to everyone. It's only once you pass this way, so dear.
So, my dears, have you been playing along to this week's game? Of course you have. Here is your final chance to see if you are able to crack the cryptic Game of Thieves. How did you do? Of course, you were able to guess that this week's Game of Theme, well, inspired by Barbara Robinson and the brilliant, brilliant work of World Medicine, the generous work of World Medicine, this week's theme is Sharing the Love. How so? I hear you cry, how so? Well, we started off with A Time to Love. We had Harvest for the World. We spread a little happiness there. Beautiful song by Vivian Ellis. And how about this? Believe by Cher. And on that note, I know when I'm no longer wanted. Please, please, please do stay tuned, because coming up next, we have Chee Time with the rather brilliant Clara Apollo. But for me, Kevin Durgent, it has been an absolute, absolute pleasure. Lots of love until next week. Goodbye.